you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back in the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. I am incredibly excited to be joined once again by the wonderful Jason Hirshhorn of The Leap. You can find him on social media and Blue Sky at BYJBH. Jason, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Andy. How's it going?
I am doing fantastic. We've spent a lot of the morning talking about the NBA and the Luka Doncic trade. I'm not actually sure how big of an NBA guy you are or are not, but what was your sort of crazy reaction when the entire weekend went down of trades and specifically with Luka going to LA?
I sincerely thought I had read a typo when I saw it the first time. I couldn't believe that that was actually a trade that a professional NBA general manager consummated, but you know, crazy stuff happens in sports.
It does, and especially in the NBA, especially during trade season. I think this kind of tops it still, but it is a very interesting trade to say the least, and I don't think there's any real NFL comp to it that's happened. The Ricky Williams trade certainly comes to mind, which can you imagine today, by the way, if a team traded a entire draft class plus to move up to get a running back in the top? Like, that would literally be, you know, like Ashton Gentry, like some team just giving up basically their entire draft class plus future assets for Ashton Gentry. Can you imagine if that happened in today's modern NFL?
Well, Jerry Jones exists, Andy, so I can't think we can rule that out at this point.
That's very, very true. That would be crazy. That would make for good talk radio, if nothing else. All right, Jason, I do want to talk some Green Bay Packers with you. You've been all over on The Leap, and you and Peter certainly have been all over some of the potential coaching changes that have been happening in Green Bay. The loss of Anthony Campanelli, Sean Mannion being promoted, the potential loss of Adam Stenovich. I want to start with Sean Mannion. Your thoughts on what he can potentially do for Jordan Love, his promotion. Was it underwhelming? Are you excited about it? Your thoughts on that?
I think it's part of a larger trend. So when we were reporting on not just the quarterback coach situation, but the multiple openings that exist on the Packers coaching staff for The Leap, we were told that the Packers did reach out to other external offensive coaches. And while there was some interest there, it did seem pretty early on that it was going to be an internal promotion. And Sean Mannion being probably the guy that they envisioned taking that role more or less from the jump. Now, when I say it's part of a larger trend, I mean not for the Packers, I mean league-wide. If you go back almost a decade now, you have seen far more often than in the past, coaches go into those roles that were previously NFL quarterbacks, and I mean directly into those roles. You know, you look at the one head coach opening that we have right now with the Saints. It's expected to be Kellen Moore after the Super Bowl. He went directly from being an NFL quarterback to being the quarterback coach for the Dallas Cowboys. You're seeing moves like that. Now, the list is not like the majority of the quarterback coaches in the NFL, but it is pretty long. We have Kellen Moore. More recently, we've had Davis Webb, who, depending on who you believe, might have gotten head coaching interest this year. Josh McCown, old Packers friend Scott Tolzien, TJ Yates, guys who didn't go directly to being quarterback coach, but were there within a few years, like Gerard Johnson, Thad Lewis, you know, Ben Johnson, you know, this big hire in Chicago. He makes his first quarterback coach, a guy who only stopped playing quarterback about 2-3 years ago in JT Barrett. So the list goes on, and now we get to Sean Mannion. You know, he has only been out of football as a player for about a year. And if you remember his career, he wasn't someone who was so physically gifted that he just had to be on NFL rosters. He got by because, by all accounts, he was a very smart player, he was a very good practice player, and a very meaningful addition to those quarterback rooms. All the kind of things that you would expect to be useful in terms of skills as a quarterback coach. So from a process standpoint, I actually can't fault the Packers too much here. This is something that we're seeing other teams in the NFL do. We're seeing a lot of these hires, you know, in pretty short order, go from being kind of these unheralded quarterback coaches to being, you know, hot OC candidates, in some cases hot head coaching candidates. Now, I don't know if that's going to be Sean Mannion. That's a little far ahead right now.
Sure.
But this is the kind of thing that you could potentially get with someone like Sean Mannion. And we know that there was a bit of a bidding war, or at least a bit of a competition, to get his skills as a coach last year. You know, Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, talked about how he was surprised that the Bears let him out of the building when they interviewed him. So there is some reason to believe that Sean Mannion, despite not having much of a resume at this point in time, could be a quality quarterback coach.
Yeah, Josh McCown certainly comes to mind in his sort of epic rise from going to player to quarterback's coach, and then there's thoughts that he could potentially be a coach and or coordinator at some point. Speaking of sort of hot commodities and coaches that are talked about, obviously Anthony Campanelli was one of those. There was a report out there that he was offered the Penn State defensive coordinator position, that he was going to get the defensive coordinator position in San Francisco had he not got, or had Robert Saleh got a head coaching job, or had Saleh not been available. And then, of course, he ends up getting the position in Jacksonville. He is a big loss for Green Bay, and how do they potentially fill that spot, and what does this mean for the Packers?
I'll start with the second part of that. This is something that you have to expect, not specifically with Anthony Campanelli, but when you have a successful defense the way that the Packers did in 2024, other teams are going to look at that. You know, Jeff Hafley built a very quality, or at least relative to other Packers defensive staff, very quality defensive coaching staff. It wasn't just Anthony Campanelli. There are a lot of new additions to that staff that came under Hafley a year ago that have drawn NFL interest for bigger roles. And when you have that success, that's going to happen. This is not ultimately a bad thing. I mean, losing Campanelli in a vacuum is not a positive for Green Bay. I want to be very clear about that. By all accounts, he did a very, very good job with that group, the linebackers, that being, this year. There's also someone who was on the defensive coordinator radar before he got to Green Bay. You know, he had drawn some praise for that when he was with the Miami Dolphins. So if things continued in the direction they were going, he was going to get a defensive coordinator job somewhere, and even be a head coach down the line. So if you're the Packers, you have to look at the long-term view here. You want a staff that is going to produce quality coaches for other teams, because it means that you're doing something right. It also means that you're going to get, over the course of time, if these changes happen gradually, new ideas, and that can be a benefit to your team as well. So, you know, Sean Duggan seems like he has the inside track. He's someone who's worked with defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley before at Boston College. That's probably a situation where you can say he knows what the defensive coordinator wants at that position. And that, I don't think it's going to be the same thing as Anthony Campanella. You know, there's personality differences, of course. But I think that they already anticipated about a year ago that they were going to lose someone like Anthony Campanella if things went well, and built the staff accordingly. That's what you want to see from an NFL team when they're putting together these coaching staffs.
Yeah, we're being joined, of course, by Jason Hirschhorn of The Leap at by GABH on Blue Sky. Make sure to give him a follow. He's absolutely fantastic. And check out The Leap. Him and Peter do a phenomenal job on it. Every single week, there's always breaking news and coaching breakdowns and everything that they bring to the table. Super analytical stuff as well, which I really enjoy when they get into the weeds on. But to your point, I think it's really great to look back at 2024 and what they did, and really sort of stocking the cupboard, because Duggan was somebody that was a co-defensive coordinator at Boston College, getting him in as a defensive assistant to have him in that spot where he could be the linebackers coach if need be. I think it was great having Sean Mannion as an offensive assistant, somebody that they could sort of mentor under, have, you know, be a mentee under Tom Clements and his, you know, all of his knowledge. I think they really did a great job of stacking that cupboard with people who could help, even getting, you know, Luke Getsy back in the building midway through last year in case that they need an offensive coordinator, which, speaking of which, Jason, they may need Adam Stenovich. The latest one is Houston. He seems to be a potential finalist for that position and would be able to call the plays in Houston. This is another coach that they could potentially lose here and have to replace.
Yeah, and this is not new territory to a certain degree for Adam Stenovich. We started to hear that other teams thought of him as a future play-calling offensive coordinator, maybe even a head coach, before he had the OC role in Green Bay. So this has been a gradual rise for him. You know, he went from being kind of an unheralded hire as the offensive line coach when LaFleur first got to Green Bay in 2019, to quickly being one of the better coaches in that role. When you improve that quickly, that's the kind of thing that the league is going to notice. And when you're on the offensive side of the ball, your chances of advancing beyond that are even greater, because we know how NFL teams love to get those offensive guys. Now, Adam Stenovich is someone that the Packers at some point are going to lose, and they've known this for a long time. The reason why he's the offensive coordinator right now, and why he's been the offensive coordinator for multiple seasons, is because that was the only way they prevent him from leaving Green Bay in the first place. If you remember, in 2022, when Nathaniel Hackett had gotten hired as the Denver Broncos head coach, That was one of the guys that he wanted to bring. And what Green Bay did as a defensive move was say, hey, we'll make you the offensive coordinator, so you're not just the O-line coach and run game coordinator to Adam Stenovich. And this way, you can stay in an offensive infrastructure that is likely to be beneficial to your career. And we'd like to have you in Green Bay to not just help with the offensive line, but to learn more of the nuances of coaching and running a full offense. And, you know, we're multiple years later right now, and it appears that he has learned those lessons because – you know, 2022, the Packers' offense obviously was up and down. It was probably the weakest of those units in LaFleur's tenure. And in 2023, they improved over the course of the season. 2024, I know some Packers fans aren't happy with the way the season ended, but it was one of the best offenses in the NFL pretty much from the start of the season to the end. Those are all positive reflections on Adam Stenovich. Now, they have guys in-house that might be able to replace him. I wonder what it's going to mean for when the Packers need to do more offensive line changes. Like, he hasn't been officially the offensive line coach for multiple years, but he still has a big voice in that room. There's going to be more weight onto their official offensive line coach, Luke Butkus, if that indeed happens. But again, this situation where the Packers have done a decent job of stacking that offensive coaching staff to prepare for these kind of departures. And, you know, you do have to imagine that these guys are eventually going to leave. And it's not just Stenovich. You know, Getsy obviously left before and is now back. There's other guys on that coaching staff who have been talked about for offensive coordinator roles, at least in coaching circles in the recent past. I would imagine Jason Vrabel is going to be up for one of these roles soon as well, by the way. But this is what you can expect when you're a successful offense in the NFL over as long of a period of time as the Packers have been with LaFleur. Your assistants are going to get poached.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's, like you said, more of a matter of time. And to your bigger point, I think it's been a really impressive job by the Packers of stocking the cupboard and having a plan in place for when some of these, you know, coaches did leave or potentially could leave in Adam Stenovich's case. Before we get you out of here again, Jason Hirschhorn of The Leap, follow him on Blue Sky at BYJBH. Matt LaFleur calling the plays is something that I see on social media get talked about from time to time of he needs to give up play calling, needs to give up play calling. I'm pretty vehemently against it, and I think it would be a bad decision. Where do you come down on that discussion as to what he should do? Should he focus more on the team holistically, or should he continue to kind of be the same coach he's been and continue to call the plays in Green Bay?
I think the notion that you should give up play calling is objectively silly. You can poke holes in anyone's play calling. You can poke holes in Kyle Shanahan's play calling, in Andy Reid's play calling, you know, go down the list. Nobody is going to be perfect. It is definitely more art than science. But LaFleur does, especially over the course of multiple seasons, a tremendous job of not just calling the right play at the right time, but setting up plays for later in the game. And I think people forget how crucial that skill was early in the 2024 season when the Packers did not have their starting quarterback on the field and they had to make do with Malik Willis. The play calling, not just the game plan, was a big part of that success. Matt LaFleur is a definitive positive in that regard. You know, there might be a few better play callers than him, but the list is not very long. I think they'd be disappointed, Packers fans that is, if Matt LaFleur stopped calling the plays and they handed it off to someone else. You know, they might have someone else on that staff who can call plays, but the chance of them being as good, let alone better, than Matt LaFleur is not very high.
I'm right there with you. I think the conversation is ridiculously silly. I think you hire Matt to be the offensive mind, to be the play caller, to be the person who is the CEO of the offense, and I think taking that away from him is a massive mistake. Now, I don't even know who they'd have to hire as offensive coordinator. Be like, okay, maybe I'd consider it. I don't think there's anyone out there that would make sense. It's not Getsy. It's not a Bobby Slowick. It's not anything like that. To me, this needs to be his offense. I've seen every other year he was able to handle everything. I think last year was, again, maybe a little bit of a step back, but I still have a ton of faith in Matt, and I have no question whatsoever that he should be that guy. So we are in lockstep there. Jason, I cannot thank you enough. Before we get you out of here, what do you got coming up on The Leap? What are you working on? What do you want to plug on the way out?
We've got a few things. Oh, we're going to have a longer story on Sean Mannion. We're talking to some of the players and coaches that he's worked with over the course of his football career to get a better idea of the kind of coach he might be. Obviously, not a long coaching resume, as we discussed earlier, but you know, that doesn't mean that there's no football resume whatsoever. We're trying to dig into that. I know Peter's working on some stuff also related to the various coaching searches. And obviously with the draft, there are several positions, including wide receiver, that we're diving into right now. So go over to theleap.football to check all that out.
Make sure to do it. Theleap.football. It's absolutely fantastic. Friends of the show, obviously, Jason here and Peter Bukowski do a tremendous job. And of course, make sure to follow Jason as well on Blue Sky at BYJBH. Jason, great to be chatting with you. We'll definitely do it again soon.
Take care, Andy.
I appreciate it. All right, that is Jason Hirschhorn. Again, give him a follow and make sure to check out the leap.football, I should say. And then before we get out of here, I do want to get to my Pottawatomie Sportsbook final thought of the day.
You got to do some smart thinking.
It's time for Andy Herman's final thought of the day.
What are you thinking?
Powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
What the hell were you thinking?
You're listening to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, really quick before we get out of here, I want more NFL trades. I want more trades like this in the NFL. It's the one thing that's missing for a league that loves the 365-day-a-year content and all of the stuff being on them. The NFL trade deadline comes and goes every year like a fart in the wind. There's nothing big to talk about more often than not. Maybe a couple receiver trades here and there. I'm not saying I want it to devolve maybe to the NBA's level where superstars are demanding their destinations and getting traded. I don't want that, but I do think they've got to figure out something to maybe switch up how trades work from a contract standpoint to make it so some things like this are a little bit more viable and you can actually make this work so that we do get the buzz and the excitement of maybe, like, can you imagine and I know it's not apples to apples, but a Lamar Jackson for a Josh Allen or something, like just something like that, that would be this unbelievable trade that we get to not only talk about, but see happen in real time. How would it affect these teams? Again, I'm not saying it needs to be fully NBA, but I'm all on board. Figure out a way to make it so that these NFL trades are a little bit more attainable like we see in the NBA. I think it would make it just a little bit more fun. A massive thank you to Tommy, awesome stuff today. Appreciate you a ton. A massive thank you to Jason Hirschhorn. Again, follow him on Blue Sky at BYJBH. Stay tuned to the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. You can find the Pack-A-Day podcast 365 days a year, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with Matt Fralick. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go. This has been the Pack-A-Day Radio Show.